Well, good morning, saints. We're going to start, we'll do Hebrews chapter 8 this morning. Well, it's a beautiful morning here in eastern Montana. Not very often you get to speak in front of a group like this and get to look out the doors and see the green grass. It's amazing what water can do for a little bit of cleansing and what water can do for growth. It's almost like there's some sort of message there from God. And I know a big part of the thing's been talk about godly foundations. I found something out this morning I wanted to bring up, that Steve and Beth here in the front row, you see the fruits of the foundations they've been laying throughout their life. Amen. And their family that's here. Amen. Heard they have four generations here today. So you see the fruits of what they put in over the years, the importance they had in their life of that. I think we should give them a hand for what they've done. I also heard one of Steve's favorite verses when his kids were leaving the house with their friends was 1 Corinthians 15:33, right? It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And I also heard, I don't know how credible this source was, but I also heard that the Heinbaugh's had French toast every Sunday morning for breakfast. Did Kyle get his French toast this morning? No. I'll have to talk to Jane, let him know that he likes French toast on Sunday mornings and spaghetti for his birthday, was it? I'm just joking, just from what Kyle said. Yeah, a little sibling rivalry there. So, as you know, as Kirk mentioned, I grew up in eastern Montana, west of here in Terry, and the Heinbaugh's were there for a little while. And I didn't know them because they had the wisdom to homeschool their kids, so I was in the public schools, and their kids were not in the public schools. But my dad knows them, knew them back in the day. So the big joke was at Peaks, when they got together, that as soon as they got together, we were right back into the 1980s. So that's kind of about the time they knew each other, so a lot of the stories they were sharing was back then. So they talked about a lot of old things, like, I don't think Field Queen even makes farm equipment anymore. I assume they probably got bought by somebody or went bankrupt. They don't put swamp coolers on top of equipment anymore. That's pretty archaic and obsolete. And then the Screamin' Jimmy. Emissions kind of destroyed that, so the Screamin' Jimmys aren't really around. You'll see them a little bit, but they don't make them anymore. They made them for a long time because emissions killed them off. See, that's all kind of old stuff that they kind of knew each other back in that day, and a lot of that stuff that they talked about is obsolete now. And I also wanted to mention, this is by far the cleanest ranch shop I've ever been in. See, if you went out to my grandparents south of Terry, their shop, you wouldn't fit this many people in here, and it wouldn't be near as clean as this thing is. They didn't get clean very often. I mean, you go up in a little shop, and then one of the pigeon holes, there's still some 8-track tapes up there. See, and those, I don't think we even have a player for them around, but no one's clean long enough that no one's even bothered to throw them away. So I don't even think they're so old. I don't think anybody even has a collector. Nobody even collects those anymore that I know of. They kind of just fell obsolete and out of the way because no one really, they realize that's old technology and there's not even a collector's market for it. So that's kind of my introduction, because I wanted to read some stuff out of Hebrews chapter 8 this morning. Hebrews chapter 8. I'll read through here and we'll skip some of it, but I'll try to read most of this chapter. Hebrews 8:1 says, "Now the main point in what has been said is this. We have a high priest who has taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For, see, he says, they make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a much more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which he has enacted on better promises." I guess I'll read the whole chapter because it's a really good chapter. 7 says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there had been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with them, make with the house of Israel, after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their minds, and I'll write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizens, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I'll be merciful to their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more.'" When he said new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. See, if you go on the world, they're going to say, the so-called Christians in the world are going to say that church is just a stopgap. See, God's plan is really to get back to this law-based system. See, that's what they're all looking for. Is they want, think this is going to, they're going to start offering sacrifices in the Middle East again to fulfill this. But the writer of Hebrews makes it very clear that that old system is obsolete. He says it's grown old and ready to disappear because this is written a little before the time that God destroyed the temple in Jerusalem to let them know that this system is old. It's not the plan. See, the real plan is the church. The Christians here is where God was really driving towards. Every step in history that he made was working towards the church, towards his people, the Christian, the ones that he was going to send his spirit to indwell. Then kind of a side story. I was talking to Mr. Lynn, and I know he recently bought a red Angus bull. I think he does have some red cows. So I'm guessing he probably has a red heifer or two around his ranch. See, and I have confidence in Mr. Lynn that he's not planning to slaughter that heifer and take her out back and burn her and collect her ashes or anything. So he realizes that would be kind of a waste of money and resources because he realized that perfect sacrifice has already been made, that perfect offering. There's no need to sacrifice that red heifer anymore. And he knows that that Mount Moriah in the Middle East has served its purpose. And God doesn't really care about who controls Mount Moriah anymore because that doesn't matter anymore. Because everything's gone to the spiritual. See, that whole old law covenant system was just physical foreshadows of spiritual truths. See, he put all that stuff in place to help us understand the spiritual, to see what's really happening in the spiritual realm. So we need those physical examples because we're still physical people here on earth to understand what spiritually is happening, what he says is happening, to give us that opportunity to actually understand what he says about us is true because it comes from his word and he's proved himself to be the true creator of everything. So that kind of made my main encouragement this morning is kind of wrap up. Mr. Compton mentioned, you know, kind of dwelling, meditating on stuff. Just funny, you think about how great God says a Christian is. That he said this was his ultimate fulfillment of his plan, is to send his spirit to indwell the Christian so that we can become like him. And I know a lot of people like to fellowship and stay out late. And I don't know what the weather is supposed to be like tonight, but you're in eastern Montana, if the sky is clear, just look up in the sky and see how many stars there are. See, I don't know much about that type of stuff, but the way I figure, if God wanted to do it, all he would have needed was one star, the sun, the earth, and the moon, and all the rest of the stuff isn't necessary for us to survive. But he didn't create that stuff for our survival. He created that stuff to display his glory, so we can see his creation. It says God's glory is declared through his creation. Just think about how many millions of stars that he created. When you think about all that great creation that he did, that great physical creation, just remember that all that stuff is going to be burned up and destroyed in the end. The only thing that's been built and made to last for eternity is the Christian. That's my encouragement for this morning.